You belong among the wildflowers. You belong on a boat out at sea. Sail away while away the hours. You belong somewhere you feel free. Run away, find you another. Go away somewhere all bright and new. I have never seen any other who could ever compare with you. You belong among the wildflowers. You belong on a boat out at sea. You belong with your love on your arm. You belong somewhere you feel free. Run away, go and find another. Run away, let your heart be your guide. You deserve the deepest of cover. You belong in that home by and by. You belong among the wildflowers. You belong somewhere close to me. Far away from your troubles and worries. You belong somewhere you feel free. You belong somewhere you feel free.
Good morning. Welcome to Wildflower Church and our Flower Communion Service. This is a 95-year-old tradition that started across an ocean from us. And so today I'll be sharing words of Unitarians across history as we celebrate beauty together. If you have not gotten a flower yet, in a few minutes during our time for congregational greetings, I'll also invite you to sneak to the back and get an extra flower for yourself. It's a beautiful day to be together. I invite you to rise in body and or spirit for hymn 1010 in your journey hymnal, the turquoise hymnal. The song is We Give Thanks.
Oh.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is a wonderful and beautiful spring day. My name is Sheila Ray, and I'm this morning's lay leader. I want to welcome you all to Wildflower Church, a Unitarian Universalist congregation. We're a liberal faith, not requiring any doctrinal test or allegiance to any creed for membership. We've chosen a heritage that places the final authority for religious questions, not with a particular book, or scriptures, not in an institution or church, but with each individual on his own or her own conscience and lived experience. We share a campus with Faith Presbyterian Church. You may have noticed there are some Christian symbols, such as our cross up here, which represent their Christian beliefs. And you may have also noticed there are a few Unitarian Universalist symbols around that speak of ours. So we're a beautiful cooperation together for our symbols. I'm a member of this denomination, and so are almost all the people here. And our denomination actually has roots in the Christian tradition, so a lot of people don't know that. I'm a member of this church because here I find acceptance and embrace for who I am, opportunity for my personal spiritual growth, and a call to serve in making our community and the world a better place. I remind you that today is an intergenerational service, and so most of the children will be staying in here with their families. Babies can go back to the nursery if you wish to have them do that. The greeters out there can show you how to get there if you're new. I want to give a special welcome to our first time and returning visitors. Please be sure and join us for refreshments and conversation in the community room in the building to your left as you leave the sanctuary. If you're a visitor who's decided you'd like to become a member of this congregation, please find an intent to join card, which I'm supposed to have in my hand, on the membership table in the foyer at the back. Someone from the membership committee will be there to answer any questions you may have. As we note at the top of our order of worship, assisted hearing devices are available in the foyer as well. So if you'd like to use one, a greeter will help you. Unitarian Universalist congregations begin our services by lighting a chalice, the symbol of our faith. Heather Montgomery will light our chalice. By the way, she's also the artist who designed the cover of your order of service. Thank you, Heather and Gabriel. Please join me in the reading the words for the chalice lighting found in your order of service. With the kindling of this flame, we affirm our commitment to accept life's gifts with grace and gratitude and use them to bless the world in the spirit of love. This morning, our interim minister, Aaron Walker, will be giving her reflection, as well as guiding us in prayer and the flower communion. Our musicians are the Wildflower Youth and Children's Choir, led by Richard Hunt Palmer, with Elke Bates on piano and Jason Crow on bass. Let's take a moment to welcome the people sitting near us, especially those you don't know well. After about a minute, I'll ring a chime. And remember, I'm a teacher. You better get back in your chairs.
Thank you, Sheila, for starting us off, and everyone for that energy that we will carry after the service into the community room as well. While the children and youth choir are making their way up, I want to say a few words from the Unitarian Reverend William B. Rice. He was the chairman of the Merger Commission in the 1950s, when the two religions, Unitarianism and Universalism, became one. In 1969, Reverend Rice gave a meditation for the Flower Communion, and he said this: "It is most wise to combine flowers and children in a day of celebration. For flowers and children ever speak of wonders and glories yet to be, of hopes fulfilled if we tend our gardens and our homes with patience, wisdom, and love. With that wisdom in mind and with great joy, we welcome the Wildflower Children and Youth Choir, led by Richard Hunt Palmer and wife Bryn, who has helped organize. This is their debut. We are very excited for that. And so, as we have gratitude for the singers and the families who brought them here today, I also want to honor Mavis Harrison. Mavis, where are you? Mavis came to an arts meeting a few months ago that I called to ask the congregation what kind of arts they'd like to see. And she and her parents said that Mavis would like to sing, but she'd rather not be the only not adult. And I think it is brave and wonderful to speak up first, and wise and joyful to name that you'd rather not go it alone. So thank you. Thank you so much, musicians. What a blessing, what a joy. Thank you so much for your gift. It is worthwhile to live and fight courageously for sacred ideals. O blow ye evil winds into my body's fire. My soul, you'll never unravel. Even though disappointed 1,000 times or fallen in the fight, and everything would worthless seem, I have lived amidst eternity. Be grateful, my soul. My life was worth living. Those were the words of Norbert Chopic. He founded the Unitarian Church in Czechoslovakia. He lived from 1870 to 1942. His home and his church were overrun by German soldiers in the years of World War II. He gave his life defying that cruel occupation. But before he died, he influenced thousands of people with the beauty of his words and ideals, including the Unitarian flower ceremony that he organized, symbolizing the light and color and fragrance of many creeds, many cultures, many races joining together in a living bouquet. He introduced this special service to his church on June 4th, 1923, and they'll celebrate that 95th anniversary in Prague this June as well. He was looking for something in difficult times to bind people together. I relate to that right now. He wanted a format that would not alienate anyone, not forsake other traditions that were still close to people's hearts. So he turned to the native beauty of his countryside and elements of communion that he felt would be genuine to the Czech people. And the simple service that we are going to recreate today was the result. So successful that it has been held yearly as summertime approaches in most Unitarian and now Unitarian Universalist congregations around the world. The Flower Communion came from Prague to the United States in 1940, introduced in Cambridge, Massachusetts by Dr. Chopic's wife, Maja Chopic, who also became an ordained minister. She and Norbert were in New York City as he was studying for his PhD, and at her urging, he left Baptist ministry and came to Unitarianism. Like so many UUs today, the Chopics were on a religious journey, and I hope you hear in their story the beauty and lasting impact that even a couple of newcomers can yet have on the history of our faith. What you might bring. People were asked to bring a flower of their choice, either from their own gardens or a field or a roadside. And when they arrived, they put them in a vase, and two young members of the church school brought them forward. This signified that they were coming to the church of their own free will, that they were participating in a community of fellowship. No two flowers are alike, no two people are alike, and we are all the more beautiful together. Now, in our version of this service, we add something, I think, that takes it even deeper. When it's time, we'll be bringing our flowers up, and we will bask in their beauty for a little while, before later in the service, having a time to choose one to give as a gift. That practice of receiving beauty from another person and giving beauty to someone else is so sacred. To me, this communion that we're going to do today represents a deepest truth that each of us is a gift to each other and to this community. Whatever color, size, age, whether you feel wilting or hardy or something in between today, we have this essential, sacred beauty in us that we bring to the world. I want to invite you into a moment of silence to think about the beauty that lives in you, that is represented in the flower that you'll bring forward. After this silent time, I'll ring a chime, and I'll invite people to come to the outside of their sections and come forward to place their flowers in the vases, and then come back to your seat. Some time to think about your beauty. We'll start with the chime. Thank you to the young ones whose sounds are also sacred in this church. I invite you to rise and come to the aisles to bring your flowers forward. Look at all that beauty you brought. Oh, I'm just moved to take it all in and to know that it represents a piece of beauty in each of you. We consecrate the flowers with the words of the Reverend Chopic. Consecration means to dedicate something to what is holy or to our highest ideals. He wrote, "Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessing on these, thy messengers of our fellowship and love. May they remind us, amid diversities of knowledge and gifts, to be one in desire and affection, devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, of doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do the work of this world." I want to repeat that last little piece. Whatever we can do, great or small, you are needed in the work of this world. Amen. Blessed be. May we rise in the singing of hymn number 305, De Colores, in the gray hymnal. Today, let's do the first verse in English, the last verse in Spanish, with enthusiasm. That's just two times through.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
I invite all the children, the young in heart, to please come forth for the children's time for all ages. Good morning. Everybody okay? Well, you're going to be here for the whole service today, so when we leave, you'll just go back and sit with your family, okay? It says we're going to sing the children out, but we aren't today. They're going to stay. That's just a little glitch in the order of service. Those of you out there who know me, I don't think the children know me, but I have a tendency to exaggerate. Shocking, I know, but some would call it lying, but I don't. I just do it for a little dramatic effect. And I was going to come here this morning and be super dramatic and pull out a flower and tell you it was the biggest flower in the world. But actually, I really thought it was. But I looked up on Google, and it's only about 12th in the list. But the others are just so strange. I don't think we could even afford them, and they don't grow here, et cetera. So today I brought a flower from last year's flower communion. And I only knew to save it because I put the word out and Miss Dagmar told me to save it, that it would dry so beautifully, and it did. And I want to show it to you. Yeah, this was on the altar last year. And so when I walked in and people were putting the flowers in the vases, you know what I thought in my heart? Don't you? What was I hoping when I saw that? What? No. I wanted someone to take it out of the vase and give it to me. It's all about Miss Sheila. And so, as plans will go, that did not work out. And I don't even remember the flower I got, but I didn't get my flower. And so, the person who got it was actually my good friend Beverly. She's sitting right up here. And I don't know if she knew in my heart how much I wanted this flower, or I don't exactly remember how it came down, but she let me have it. And there I went around like a queen, and guess what? It's not called a queen, it's called King Sugar. Is that a great name for a flower or what? So I've hung on to it. It's been in my bedroom, and I've even found my cat playing with it. Still didn't hurt it. It's a very tough flower. So I'm not going to let you hold it now, but after the service, when we're over there, we're going to have an experiment if you want to come and help me. I've been dying to cut this thing open and see if we can find some seeds. I looked it up, and it says they're in there, but you might not necessarily recognize them. I don't know what that means, but we're going to see. And I brought some special scissors, and I brought some little bags. So if there are seeds, everybody can get some and take them home. No guarantees that they'll grow. This is the national flower of, let me think about it, South Africa. And so you're not going to find them here too much, but they're not impossible to be in our gardens, not impossible. So we're all about the possible today. So that's my flower from last year. You'll see that after church. Flower from this year, I tried. I went lots of different places. I wanted another King Sugar flower, which I probably couldn't afford, but I was going to pay whatever they said. And so this is as close as I could get. This is kind of what this other one looked like last year, but I know it's not going to turn out to be as big, probably. But this is, it doesn't, has no smell. It's just so beautiful. I guess it attracts the insects that pollinate it anyway. So let me see. Where's my little flower girl? I'm going to ask you to put that up on the altar. Okay. And you'll see in a little while, if you're doing like I did last year, you're already wishing what? What are you wishing? You want it. Well, maybe. Hello? She wants this. That's not the way it's going to work. You're going to see. You get to decide which flower you're going to give away, but you do not know what kind of flower you're going to get. So let's be nice about it no matter what. Okay, now go back to your family. Go sit with your family. Very good listening.
So we now all have our eyes on that flower. So for Community Matters this morning, I just have a few things to alert you to. Those who have participated in the first and third Sunday morning Buddhism and meditation groups have been intrigued by it but haven't yet come because it's not a good schedule. You now will be able to come to Wildflower at 9:30 on any Sunday morning and have a time to participate at 9:30 in a Buddhism and meditation group. John Sosnowski is starting a second group that will meet in the second and third and fifth, and so we now have a full complement between he and Michael's offerings. So if that's something that you appreciate as you get ready to ease into your Sunday, that's a really joyous, calming, and informative opportunity. Wildflower's Wild Earth Climate Team is actually going to have its quarterly film on Friday, and it's a very interesting title called This Changes Everything. There are details in your order of service, but I just wanted you to make sure you put that on your calendars. The doors open at 6:30. It's in our community room, and the show will start at 7. And there also, I want to invite you to look online for the May Day activities that are happening tomorrow as an opportunity for us to stand up for immigration rights. So there are lots of things happening all day long, so I encourage you to engage in that. And finally, I want to celebrate our greeters and our greeter team, that teams that show up every week. It's a great way to welcome new and returning visitors and welcome wildflowers who are returning or just showing up on Sunday morning. And so I would just love to have you connect with me today if that sounds like something you'd like to do.
Unitarian Universalism is a grand vision of a world filled with peace and justice, love and joy. That vision is embodied in our congregation. No matter its size, every congregation depends on each of its members. Each one of you, by your commitment of your time, energy, and resources, helps make the grand vision real. Please give as generously as you are able. The ushers will now collect the offering. Thank you for your generosity to sustain our beloved community. And thank you, Aaron, for that. Thank you, Elke, for that beautiful, beautiful music. My earliest memory of a blossom is the lilac, planted by my father when I was very young, at first less than a foot high, but which later grew into a long, hardy hedge in the home of my childhood in Hobbs, New Mexico. Its color is a shade of light bluish purple that's even called lilac. The blossoms were rich and beautiful and buzzed with hardworking bees gathering pollen. Like many of our long ago memories, their aroma is rooted in childhood, now coming in the form of its smell so strong in the olfactory center of my brain that just thinking of it can bring it forth with a swell in my heart. But the thing about the smell is that it's often imitated in shampoos, perfumes, deodorants, air fresheners. You can even buy a pillow with the essence of lilac. It's not the real thing. Nice try, chemist, but it just doesn't do it for me. Nothing like the real thing, I say, and that especially goes for plastic and silk flowers as well. I abhor them. Nothing like the real thing, I say. On the other hand, last summer when my brothers and I were tending to the business of my mother's funeral, we went to order the flowers. I don't know if you've ever done that, if you've ever been through that, but these folks prey on your emotions and your vulnerability, and it's no different at a florist than it is anyplace else. I was imagining a small bouquet with something like "Love You, Mama" in gold or silver printed on the ribbon. But no, the flower merchant played on that vulnerability and emotion, giving us the hard sell. I was voted down by my siblings, and we ended up with a casket spray, which cost just shy of an unimaginable $500. The thing about it is that my frugal mama would have been horrified. And like flower shop flowers, they fell apart and fell short from having any wafting smell by afternoon. Beautiful, yes. But the money would have been so much better spent on books about identifying wildflowers for the school library there in Little Cisco, Texas. It's what she would have wanted. The only thing that gives me a smile about that whole thing is that at the open casket viewing the night before the funeral, her 7-year-old great-grandchild asked me two things. "Aunt Sheila, can I touch Grandma? And can I have one of those flowers?" I told her she could touch Grandma's hand, but no to having a flower. She wasn't used to being told no by Aunt Sheila. I said, "Ask me about it tomorrow." After the grade size service the next morning, Ella says, "Now can I have a flower?" I walked her up to the closed casket adorned with the fortune in flowers that would surely wilt in the July heat by sundown. She broke off a white blossom and went back to her seat with the family. Then, with no script or no fanfare, one by one, each of Mama's other 13 great-grandchildren followed suit by going up and breaking off a flower. At the reception afterwards, I made a point of going around to each of the tables. I don't know if you've ever been to a small town funeral, but you better go around and talk to all the ladies that made fried chicken and black-eyed peas. And I was listening to funny and sweet stories about my mother. No tears, but lots of laughter about Mama's self-deprecating humor and her many shenanigans and pride in her unselfish and generous devotion to family and various charities throughout her 91 years. The last table was where the 13 grandchildren sat together without having been told where to sit. On the table sat a drinking glass with 13 white flowers. Thus another memory etched in my brain forever. After all, isn't the temporary essence of flowers what makes their beauty so poignant and so sweet. They push up through the soil, unfurl their stems and leaves, and blossom into their short-lived span. What a miracle they are for the science, for the seeds, for the smell, for the touch, for the mystery, for the unasked and unanswered question in Tennyson's poem, Flower in the Crannied Wall. Flower in the crannied wall, I pluck you out of the crannies. I hold you here, root and all, in my hand. Little flower, if I could understand what you are, root and all in all, I should know what God is and man is. I could tell so many stories about flowers in my life, and so could you. And for me, at least today's surface will be one of them. Who will give me a flower, and is in whose hand shall I place one?
Will you remain seated in the spirit of prayer and meditation as we sing hymn 396? I know this rose will open. It's in your gray hymnal. There are many ways to pray, and music is one of my favorites. The Reverend Bill Singford is a former president of the Unitarian Universalist Association and now acting president again, along with two fellow esteemed UU ministers of color, Reverend Dr. Sophia Betancourt and Dr. Leon Spencer. Reverend Singford preached the Flower Communion to the First UU Church of Portland, Oregon in 2010. He is one of my professors at Meadville Lombard, and with his permission, I share a few of his words to start our reflection. May these flowers remind us of grace we have known in days past. Forgiveness we have been granted and provided. Love unearned and shared. Recovery begun and established. Generosity unforeseen and most sacred. And may they inspire us now in days to come to seek, to notice, to embrace, to recreate beauty. To give unto the world as exuberantly as these flowers. To give unto the world as exuberantly as these flowers. We couldn't ask for a better mission. I'm grateful for this message, for the truth of unearned love and unfinished business of growth that we all have, a calling to give to the world exuberantly. One of the pains of my life experience, and I believe of being human here and now in this world, is the insidious message many of us have received that we need permission to feel beautiful. Someone else's permission. Our own permission. 5 or 50 pounds from now, I can feel beautiful. When I stop this or start that, I'll be worthy. When my skin is lighter or darker, my legs or lungs are stronger, when I don't feel so alone, then I will be beautiful. This breaks my heart. These messages live in me too. And if there's one thing I know, it is that they are a lie, taught to us to sell things, to tear us and keep us apart. It is a spiritual practice of my life, and I hope of all of our lives as Unitarian Universalists, to fight against that message, to say that we are all inherently worthy of love and beauty right now. There is this Zen Shin saying, a flower does not think of competing with the flower next to it. It just blooms. We honor the seventh principle of our faith, the interconnected web of all existence, when we are exuberant in the beauty of our true selves. That beauty is life-giving to all. It ripples through the whole web. Recreate beauty, Reverend Sinkford said. Be as these flowers. But I don't want to be naive about it either. A few weeks ago, this church did a service on trauma. Many of you wrote down traumas that you've suffered in your life. Loss, addiction, death, hunger, disappointment, grief, violence. This is all a part of the human experience, and we don't talk about it too much. We hide these parts of our lives sometimes because we don't want to disturb other people with our truth, sometimes because we have gotten to a place that is safer, healthier, and we want to live in that space. Reverend Ferguson and I talk about that service a lot. It had a big impact on us. We have been so moved by the gifts that you bring here today, every day, by this place that you've created, this beauty here in our neighborhood, for our community, during and after pain. It's not either or. You don't get to be beautiful or struggling. Beautiful or life is hard. It's and. We are beautiful and times are hard. Flowers do not ask permission to grow, to bloom, to open themselves up to the sun. Especially not wildflowers. In the sacred words of Dolly Parton, in her lyrics, when a flower grows wild, it can always survive. Wildflowers don't care where they grow. I think about that a lot. I wrestle with it. I care where I grow. I'm grateful to be growing right here. And by the same token, I love that sentiment that we can grow anywhere in any circumstance. And I think, when I think back on the trauma service, of flowers that grow under glaciers. Small gifts of nature, so much smaller than those hard glaciers, and yet they do. They grow and they break through. And I remember that when times are hard. This is the 95th year of the Flower Communion, and I want to give particular thanks today to all of the wildflowers and climate action work. You were recognized, a lot of you, last Sunday, but I just want to say thank you to you again. There are few efforts that benefit our world more than the effort to treat our whole planet with the reverence that we want to treat each other and the gentleness that we're treating our flowers today. I want to remember today our UU siblings in Flint, Michigan, and Corpus Christi, Texas, and anywhere else where people, plants, and animals thirst for clean water. I want to remember our UU family around the world, 600 congregations and fellowships that are holding teach-ins today and next week on the impact of white supremacy in our denomination and around the world. That white supremacy that stops the beauty, the diversity, of the full experience of life. We will be holding our own next week, and I hope you will be there. We'll be doing it the way Wildflower always does things, celebrating the efforts that we're making and challenging ourselves to keep growing in love. There is spiritual work here that can't wait. I want to tell you just one little thing about the way that I fight that lie in my life, that I'm not worth beauty. I get up every day and I ask my clothing. Many of my pieces of clothing have flowers on them. And I go to my closet and I ask my closet to clothe me in the spirit and joy that I want in the world. When I'm exhausted or physically, emotionally tired, I choose a fabric or a piece of jewelry to summon the spirit I want to be. I try to tell that voice, shh, when it says, you do not deserve beauty. Be small. I try to say, shh. I want the truth of the world to be that we all live in beauty. So a little story about that is that last weekend, when it was unseasonably chilly, my band, Butch County, we were going to have a band dinner. We were going to send our singer off to a surgery with good vibes. It was cold. We were going to sit outside at a restaurant. And so I couldn't decide if I wanted to wear my rainbow feather jumpsuit or if I wanted to wear my giant butterfly poncho. And so I decided, this is Austin. This is probably my last chance this year to wear both. So I did. I put on both. Now, for those of you who don't know Butch County, we are a queer and trans-positive hard rock band. So I, as a cis straight woman, am kind of in the minority. I don't wear a lot of black. Can you hear me? Can we do this one? I'm going to take this off. I don't wear a lot of black, and they graciously invite me into a space where my way of being is different than the standard way of being in the band. So I put on all my colors to go to band dinner, thinking, that's fine. I'm just going to do this. It's a lot of look, as they say, but I'm just going to do it. So we're sitting around the table, we're talking, and then the rhythm guitar player pulls out a bag. And she said, this is awkward, and there's no reason, but I have something for you. And she handed me this bag, and I opened it, and it was this. This is a necklace that I thought this morning as I got dressed for church. It's a lot of look. I don't know. And then I put it on anyway, because this is the kind of flower I want to be in the world. But she said, there's no occasion. And I put it on, and it just worked perfectly with all of what I already thought was maybe too much beauty. And so what I want to leave you with today, and as you come in a minute and take your flowers, and as the children sing for us one more time, and then we go out into this gorgeous day, what I want to leave with you is this. Don't wait until a year from now to be surrounded in flowers. Don't wait to give someone a gift of your beauty, whatever it may be. Maybe you like browns, maybe you like white, maybe you like peaceful colors, maybe you're loud like me. Whatever your kind of beauty, don't keep it to yourself. Don't hold it. Share it. Bring it. The world needs you. At this time, we will do that. We will make gifts of beauty to each other. What we will do is we will rise again, and we will come forward from the sides. If you notice one side is heavy, you might come to the other side, because each of us is going to come forward and make a gift, choose a flower to give to someone else. And let's do this quietly with awareness and intention, and think about what it is that we're choosing to give and what we deserve. I love that Sheila's story was like, she wanted the big one. And you deserve whatever kind of beauty you really want to pick and you really want to share. So I invite you to rise in this 95-year-old international Unitarian tradition and come forward to make a gift of beauty to each other. I have never led a flower communion before. Many of you have never been to a flower communion before. Wildflower has not had a youth and children's choir that I know of before. So I just want to honor all the ways that new things are growing in our lives as I welcome the choir back to sing. Thank you so much to all the musicians today. Sheila, will you extinguish our chalice? As our benediction, I would invite you to rise as your flower has risen from the ground, in body or spirit. This meditation is from UU Reverend Gary Kowalski. Take a moment now to contemplate your flower. Notice it has a center, a focal point from which everything radiates. So too do you. Ask yourself where your center lies. Flowers stretch up toward the life-giving sun. Ask yourself, toward what lofty aim does your own soul aspire? Flowers have roots hugging the earth. Ask yourself, where do you draw your own strength and nourishment? May we share that strength and nourishment with each other in this beautiful and diverse community we share. Amen. Blessed be. Go in beauty.